Blog Talk Radio.
Don't you let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shirt together. Gonna polish up our act. And if you never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well, don't you let nothing stand in your way. I want you to live.
Yes, here we go once again. It's Thursday nights with the man himself, Neo Nation Conversation with Minister Jaquan Diaz. Special guest tonight is Dr. Benyamin Bridges, and they'll be talking. He has a show coming on brand new next week, Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., and then Saturday, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m., and it's called Exploring Spirituality with Dr. Benyamin Bridges. And subject today is anger. Where anger come from? Is anger of God? Is anger of the devil? And the man himself is here. Himself, the man himself. I'm saying the devil because he's that good. Minister Jaquan Diaz, let's give him a nice hand and welcome him in. Come on, people.
Yes, thank you for the warm introduction as always, and I am very excited for today's show. Unfortunately, couldn't start on time because I had to get out on a break in order to do the show. Business has been going really well where we at Catch and Grill on 127th Street, and yeah, I'm ready. I'm fired up, Brother Benyamin.
Great.
Yeah, I'm very
great,
excited.
Great.
I'm
just so excited, brother, because you have a spirituality, understanding of spirituality, and anger is such a devastating thing to society. It's really hurting everybody. Everybody's angry. And Benyamin is a spiritual brother as well, and he has manifestation of peace in people's lives through meditation and spirituality. So I'm so excited. I'm going to bring him on right now, Brother Dr. Benyamin Bridges. Let's give a nice hand, people, once again. Give a nice hand.
Well, thank you, my brother, for having me on the show today. One thing for sure, I believe that we're going to be on our way to make some really positive things happening now. And I'm really very thankful to the Creator and Christ for allowing us to open this door and make some positive things happen. All we need to do is come together in spiritual unity, and we're going to see some real positive change in our community.
You talk a little closer on your phone.
Yeah, can you hear me a little better now?
A little bit better. Try another way. Maybe.
Okay, I just took myself off a speakerphone. Can you hear me better now?
Oh, great.
I can hear the brother.
Okay, great. Yes, indeed.
Wait, Brother Benyamin, you have a YouTube channel, right?
Do I have a YouTube channel? No, I don't.
Yes.
You know, I was, it's funny that you mentioned that because I was looking at doing a YouTube ad program that they have, you know, and, you know, from what they're saying anyways, that by dealing with the YouTube, it helps to, you know, get the word out of, you know, whatever type of business you're in or whatever programs you're trying to deal with. And it, you know, exposes that to a lot of people so that they could get access to what you're doing.
Okay, great. So tell us a little bit about your background and what brings you on the show.
Yeah, well, basically, in dealing with the spiritual unity, you know, back in 2010, you know, we ended up ending a gang war that had killed a lot of kids, you know, not only in the Mount Vernon area, but we were also dealing with Harlem. We were also dealing with Baltimore as well. And, you know, it was a situation where I was really glad to see that, you know, the results that came out of this, you know, had helped to save the lives of a lot of kids, you know, that were caught up into, you know, acting foolishly and getting caught up into these gang wars, wanting to kill each other just to be able to brag about the fact that they, you know, got the biggest and baddest gang in Harlem, or got the biggest and baddest gang in Mount Vernon, or got the biggest and baddest gang in, you know, Baltimore and other places. But the bottom line was that in the process of doing all of this, you know, a lot of youth were being killed, and they were just, you know, taking each other out left and right. And unfortunately, it was, you know, didn't make any sense on what they were doing, you know. But, you know, the good thing about it was that we were able to get, you know, out into the community and talk to people about the fact that we needed help for folks to come together in unity so that we could, you know, speak to these youth about changing their, you know, attitude and their thinking pattern of wanting to kill each other and, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff. And what ended up happening, we were able to raise and get together 150 people, which was good. And then we went into the different schools and we talked to a number of different kids, thousands of kids, and talked to them about how they really needed to change their attitude and seeing, you know, themselves as just being, you know, the biggest and baddest gang in their community, and start to see themselves as brothers and sisters that wanted to help one another and care about one another instead of destroy one another. And once we started to really get that message out to them, you know, it started to help some of those kids to come out of the gang, you know, and that was really good. And the good thing about it as well was that dealing with that, what ended up happening was that, you know, a huge impact on the group as well. We had six mothers whose sons had been murdered in the gang violence. And they went into the different, you know, schools and spoke, and they were up on in the auditoriums. And they spoke to the kids about how devastating it was for them to have lost their sons, you know, in this gang violence. And also what ended up happening was, you know, after they finished speaking, they were up on the stage and they were all crying. And the good thing about it, though, was the fact that when you looked in the auditorium as they were crying, a lot of the kids in the auditorium were crying as well, because they finally got the message. You know, it's not about destroying these families. It's not about destroying your community just so you could go around bragging about how you're the biggest and baddest gang. But what the thing that really needed to be done was that we needed to allow them to see that we should not really hate each other and want to kill each other, but that we should really want to help each other and care about each other. And when they saw those mothers up on the stage crying, quite a few of the kids that were in the gangs decided to come out. But there was still, you know, quite a few that were still in there, and there was still some violence going on. And the funny thing about it was that we had a meditation program in the school so that we could actually get these kids to calm down and come and try to refocus their minds on doing things positively instead of negatively, like killing each other and all that kind of crazy stuff. And basically what ended up happening, one of the kids in our program, they were doing a meditation at home, so we told them to do one in the morning so you could start the day off right, and do one in the evening so you could end your day right, just before you go to sleep. And this one was doing meditation in the evening, you know, and the next day she came to me and told me about the fact that Jesus came to her in a meditation and told her that what needed to be done was that the students, as well as myself, we need to get together and organize this where the divine love of God and the divine love of Christ could literally be utilized to help to, you know, stop these kids that wanted to kill each other and that were having all of this negative energy towards hating each other and wanting to kill each other. And Jesus told her that if you would actually have Mr. Bridges, you know, with the different meditation groups that you have in the different schools, focus on seeing the divine love of God and the divine love of Christ in their minds and hearts, Jesus said, what I will do, cleanse all of that hatred and the desire to kill one another away. And when she told me that, I said, wow, that sounds really powerful. I said, Jesus told you that? She said, yes, Jesus told me that. And he came out of a big ball of light. And when he walked out of that ball of light, he was a black man. And I said, really? He said, yes. And not only that, he was telling me all of this about the divine love of God in Christ. And if we actually will utilize this powerful energy of God's divine love and Christ's divine love, he said that that would cleanse away all of this hatred and anger that they have for one another. And what ended up happening, I said, you know what? This sounds really great. I said, let's see what we could do with this. Because if we could actually, you know, really focus on this with the meditation and all the kids in the meditation groups could actually see this as an antidote towards all the negative fighting and killing that's going on by seeing the divine love of God and Christ in their hearts and minds, then let's see if Christ will really, you know, cleanse all of this away. And what ended up happening, we did that with our meditation groups. And after we did that, 2 weeks later, the gang wars were over. And we did that in a situation where they had a big gang war in Baltimore as well. And the brother heard about the success that we had here in New York, you know. And because we had the success, he said, listen, man, I heard you, you know, you guys did something here where you were able to stop the gang war. And I'm really glad to see that. But the bottom line is we're having a big gang war right now in Baltimore where a lot of kids are being killed. So I wanted to see if you guys could, you know, do the meditation for us out there. So we did that in Baltimore as well. And the gang war ended it there as well. And using the same spiritual technology that Jesus had said to the young lady in that meditation about utilizing the divine love of God and the divine love of Jesus Christ, seeing that light of God's love and the light of Jesus' love in the hearts and minds of those that wanted to kill one another. And basically what ended up happening, it ended the gang war in, you know, the situation in Baltimore as well. So I was very, very thankful that Jesus even came to us and shared that with us. Because when he did that, you know, it was a great opportunity to end the gang war and save the lives of a lot of youth from killing each other. And the beautiful thing about it, too, I ended up getting awards from mayors. I ended up getting awards from senators, congressmen, and I ended up getting awards from county legislators and, you know, superintendents of schools and all of that. So I was just very thankful because they saw, you know, all the work and time we put into it. So we started the program in 2008, and we ended it in 2010. But the icing on the cake where we were able to end the whole thing was when we utilized what Christ had told us to do, and that was it. The gang war was over. So the divine love of God and the divine love of Christ can really have a huge impact on the lives of people, not just the youth, but even adults as well. And what we could do is really turn a lot of negative violence things around that are really affecting our community and the lives of our people. But once they see that the power of God's divine love and Christ's divine love is really there, then they could really start to see some serious and amazing change in the lives of, you know, these folks. But, you know, that hatred and that anger, you know, is something that can definitely be cleansed away. And if we can do it from a spiritual perspective, will definitely have a huge impact, especially if you use the awesome and amazing spiritual power of God and Christ in that picture. So that's basically one of the things that we were looking at, and I was just really very, very thankful for the results. Because aside from the awards that we received, I just really have to give all homage and praise to Jesus and the Creator for allowing it to come through. Because I'm not taking all the credit on that at all. That was Jesus that came through and shared that information. And even prior to that, I felt his presence was with us as well to help us to make, you know, the gang war come to an end.
Amen. Amen. That's definitely a lot of accomplishments to definitely end a feud between two sides and two wars. And I'm very inspired to hear that you've accomplished that through the power of the Creator guiding you through that process. And I'm very humbled to be on the radio show with you. It's amazing.
Well, thank you, my brother. I appreciate that.
Well, it's amazing that you say that and that today's topic is what it's about because, you know, nothing that happens in my life is by accident, and I know it's the Creator revealing to me the time. So I was in a check cashing place today, and a young brother by the name of Ronald, he's in the check cashing place with me. Now, when I first met this man, it was imprisonment. And he was big on his Bible. He was always in his Bible. And he sees me today. And, you know, at the time where he seen me, I was deep in my scripture, but I had a balance of survival. I had a idea that I had to do certain things to survive. And his mind at that time wasn't there. So 7 years he did imprisonment, that bid. I did 6 years. And now we re-meet. Now, mind you, I'm telling him about the radio show. He's inspired to hear that I'm still, you know, walking a path with God. And then I'm talking with him about the topic, and he was somebody overheard inside the check cashing place. So I started getting into a spill about the time and, you know, the government structure and you know, what exactly happening with the devil's plot. And, you know, it inspired everybody in there to listen and join in my conversation. And then the guy said, hey, if you got in trouble so much for the wrong thing, why don't you start getting in trouble for the right one? He's like, why, like, are you willing to get in trouble for the right things? I'm like, I mean, anytime somebody voices the right thing, the devil doesn't want to hear it, so he's going to target you. So, you know, as I look throughout history, you know, the devil has a pattern of attacking us in different ways. And I'm glad that today's show is about anger, because I've been feeling a lot of anger. And the anger, I believe that I'm connected to the Creator in a different way. I don't know how to fully explain it, but the Creator's grace has always been upon mankind, and the Creator has allowed his mercy to always supersede his wrath because of how he set everything up. He's so merciful. At the same draw point, when Jesus said, do not fear the man who could destroy your body, but fear the one who could destroy your body and your soul in a lake of fire. Now, what I'm really feeling right now is like they're doing it again. Like, if you know how they took down the Black Panthers, the counter with the counterintelligence program, I just discovered, like, because, you know, I'm a little more connected to the street side than a lot of people. But I'm not going to tell my sources or anything like that. But, like, they're doing it again. Like, now they're forcing everybody to take the vaccine. Like, now I'm working at this restaurant. By the 13th, it's going to be in effect. By next month, if I don't get a vaccine, I'm out of a job. Then they have gang leaders in the street now teaching young people. I got approached. A person approached me and said, listen, we are creating a black militia against law enforcement. It's about to happen. So any minute now, like, these mother effers again, the devil, always in disguise, going among ranks, going into the gangs, creating wars. This is what they do. It's outside of starting the ignorant, like one ignorant side versus another ignorant side. It's the puppet master. The puppet master who is influencing all of that to happen and keep doing it is where I'm stuck at right now because I know about certain things happening. I know about certain things about to happen. and it's nothing I could do. What I'm supposed to sit back and watch life die? And if we really have the power to stop these feuds, how come we can't redirect that energy? Like, where did all of that energy from them gangs go? Two warring gangs, they stopped warring. Where did they go? Did they go work a 9-to-5? Did they go work for the government? Did they go build a building and keep this infrastructure going that is keeping us in bondage and slavery? That's just where I'm stuck at, and it makes me mad because I'm very angry because it's hard to see the end game. Like, and maybe I need clarity on it because it's like the end game, it just looks like it's just going to be an all-out fight. And it's hard to see any other end result.
Well, you know, I'm really glad that you shared that with me, brother, because I've been hearing lately a lot of our kids, you know, with the gang wars getting ready to start up again. And off and on, I've been hearing a lot of youth being murdered again, you know. And also, one of the other big problems that we do have that's been on our doorstep as well is the fact that we have racist white, you know, police officers that are coming into our community, killing our children, killing our women, and also they're killing, you know, our male adults as well. But the bottom line is, you know, it's difficult dealing with them because we have a really racist, you know, justice system that even though they have, you know, witnesses that seen the police officer kill this person for no reason, and even though they have a video and all kind of stuff going on that watch this, you know, many times it's the judge that says, he might have, shot this person, but he had a good reason to do it, so I'm not going to put him in jail, I'm not going to accuse him of anything, and I'm not going to, you know, fire him from his job, you know. So a lot of times it really depends on what state you're in, on whether you even have a chance. Because even the brother that, you know, was it 5 years ago, he was selling cigarettes in front of a store there. And basically what happened with him, you know, there was a bunch of white police officers that came by, saw him selling cigarettes. So they said, no, we don't want you to do that. And matter of fact, you know, trying to be a crazy nigga selling cigarettes, you know, we're going to show you something. So they ended up choking him. And then, you know, they choked the brother to death, you know. And a friend of his was there, and he used a phone, and they actually filmed the fact that he, you know, was choked to death by the police officer. But then the judge, I was really surprised, but not totally surprised, because that's the way their racist system works. The judge said, oh, no, the police officer, when he hit the ground with him, he let him go. And what really happened was that the guy had a throat problem, and that's why he choked to death. Not didn't have anything to do with the police officer. I was like, what? You got a video showing you from this guy's phone that when he hit the floor with him, he kept choking him, and he choked him for the next 5 minutes and choked him to death. He said, what are you talking about? He had a throat problem. I said, but the bottom line is so many lies go on with that. But this is the thing. The wonderful thing about this, my brother, is that I'm feeling that the same formula that Christ shared with us in regards to how we could end the gang war with a lot of, you know, knuckleheads that wanted to kill each other is the same thing that we can do in regards to these police officers. It's the same thing that we could do even with the Ku Klux Klan and the Nazis, you know, that unfortunately down south, they have unfortunately many times you know, killed our people, even, you know, in these days. Because back in the 60s, you know, it came to a point where, you know, the Ku Klux Klan was, every week you had a bunch of our people that were being, killed, you know, lynched. And they would take them into these woods and these different parks. And, you know, they even called it a picnic, you know. You pick a nigger and then go out and go and eat with your friends and family and, you know, you have them hanging over a tree over you, and you're eating all this food and everything and having a good time while you watch their feet hanging over your head and all of that. And I was like, wow, you know, picnic. I didn't know that that's what that was about. But back in the day, that's what they were saying. That was from the Ku Klux Klan. They were talking about pick a nick, which is a nigger, you know, and then after you pick the ones that you want to hang, you hang them up, and then you have your meal there, and you enjoy your meal while you watch them hanging in from a tree or from a lamppost or something. And I was like, wow, But that still is going on today, but not as heavily as it was back in the 60s. So that was like every week. Now you hear about that still happening, but it might be like once a month or twice a month, something like that might happen. But the bottom line is not as bad as before, but it's still happening. And our people don't need to be, you know, killed by the Ku Klux Klan. They don't need to be killed by the police officers. And they definitely, we definitely don't need to be killing each other, period, whether it's the adults or whether it's the youth. We need to stop, you know, all the violence and the murder. But the formula that stopped it before, you know, that Jesus had mentioned, is the same formula we're going to start again. Because we're going to start a movement with this where we're going to get those that feel the spirituality of God and Christ's power can actually end gang wars and end the murdering of our people. And if we can really focus on that and really see that as a true reality, because it's not something I say, well, okay, we tried it before, but it didn't work, and maybe it'll work this time. No, we got good results with that last time. We were actually able to end gang war, save children's lives that were about to kill each other. And the beautiful thing about it, we can utilize that same formula once again in the present time, in the omnipotent present time, and actually see some serious, positive, and amazing results. And the only reason why I'm saying I know this can happen is because it did happen before, and I know it can happen again.
I respect that standpoint. I definitely do. And I'm just going to pray. I'm praying on it that something like that is the reality. And I don't know, man. It's hard to see because, like, people are mad. Like, and it sounds like, I don't know, your age or anything. You're older and you're wise. And the youth are very angry. We are very upset, a lot of us, with what is going on. And and from the people who's talking to me, they seem deadly serious. Like, they don't seem like... You thinking about gang wars. I'm telling you that the gangs are now uniting to fight the government. Full-fledged war. Like, this is what I'm saying. How do you stop that? How do you teach them gang members that the government is for them? It's impossible. Like, I'm trying to talk to people right now. They look dead serious on how, like, you don't know that the scripture, like, everybody wants to pay attention to the bright side of the scripture. It's all well and good. Jesus still prophesied the rumors of war, the final calamity, the final fight. And it's, and what it's looking like when it talks about the meek, the people on the bottom being fed up, and then them overthrowing the people on the top in one final fight, it looks like that's what's happening. And it's hard for me to ignore. And it's hard for me to be optimistic that everything else is going to happen the way all the other groups want it to happen. Because the way that the scripture is pointing to it, it looks like straight independence. Like, the devil stands on one side, God stands on another. They don't never stand toe-to-toe. They don't never stand side-by-side. One is one or the other. Like, it doesn't look like evil is going to lower its wing. It doesn't look like evil is going to reside, because just like they killing us in the street, they killing us with the food. They killing us in the pharmaceutical world. They killing us in the chemical world, creating chemical warfare. They're killing us all around the board with our education. They're just killing us. It's not the physical kill is a quick kill versus a slow death. When they kill us, when they strangle us and do all that other stuff they like to do to us, they're killing us in all other avenues of the world too. So, like, I believe in divine anger, and a lot of people don't know what hellfire is, but there was a story of when the angel Gabriel and the rest of the angels, they built the hellfire. They built what the hellfire is. God sent every one of his attributes, love, mercy, understanding, is infinite. Every one of them is infinite. So God could protect us. He took his wrath and took a portion of his wrath and sealed it in a boat, which is hellfire. The fire is not literal fire like we understand fire as, because the angel said when the fire was burning red, the Creator said it's not hot enough, and he ordered the fire to burn for another eternity, a couple more thousand years till the fire turned white. He said the fire is still not hot enough. Burn it some more till the fire turned black. The flames were black. And the angel cried, because when the angel cried, he said, God told me that when he issued the fire, I don't know how nobody's not going in there. The mass majority of humanity is going to burn, period. Jesus said it. The prophet said it. The mass majority is going to burn. And it will be a final fight between who wants to stand with God, who's going to walk with God, versus those who want to cling to the life of this world, power, lust, and thinking that this world could last them forever. So while there's good people like you who use your influence, money, and power for good, there's a couple other thousand ones who are evil and vile and only care about greed and power. And what I'm telling you, it's outside just influencing both sides to not fight no more, because another power to be you fighting against. The devil is taking people. They know everything about our gang. They know everything from the bottom up, the codes and everything. They morph these people, teach them what it is, and then send them into the ranks. You think by accident there's somebody walking around as a gang leader telling you prepare for a fight against the police? You think a gang leader's talking like that? That's them. That's them putting their little snakes and moles in every rank. And making money off of war. They do it with bigger countries, bigger wars, way bigger. America versus all other groups. They've done it before. Gangs is so minute and such a minute scale compared to wars that they've waged for material gain. They are doing it again, how they brought down the Black Panthers and everybody else. And I'm a little frantic, because the reason why I'm frantic is my soul is telling me that while y'all want to prepare the next generation to make a change for the future, it looks like the devil sees that, and he's nervous, and the devil is a kamikaze. Before he lets us do that, before he lets us preserve the light of the future, he will self-destruct. He will bring the walls of everything down. The devil is insane. He will create a weapon like COVID or anything else to kill all humanity off and break everything down before he saves face. His pride is too much. He can't say he defeated. He can't say, y'all right, the youth does deserve a new chance and future and everything else. The devil is incapable of that, because his pride is going to blind him. So now that he is able to influence his will into mankind's heart, we together can collide on a journey, but we should know our enemy. We should have known when George Floyd died and all of those movements was happening out the world, the devil took his emissaries and sent them out. He sent out the people to control the morale of the people, to keep them at bay, because ain't no dramatical change happened while the whole world stood still for George Floyd. The whole planet stopped. And look, we still going through police brutality. We still going through everything that we're going through. How could any movement be bigger than what just happened? It was the misdirection. Everybody was marching on the planet. So it's like, yo, like the way it's really telling me, the spirit of Christ is uniting and igniting in people's hearts and bodies. Yes, and the spirit of God is still well over the earth. It's about a wrestle and tug of war for what we really want out of this world. Like when we transfer over and we leave away from it, and our youth don't know the Creator. So I admire the work that you did and stopping their work, and the Creator's hand utilized you to accomplish that work. It's just a bigger fight. Is that, like, once you took all that manpower and all them gangs and then you gave them purpose and let them go, where did they go? Where are they? Like, because I've worked for organizations like Exodus and among others, and then I keep finding all the youths in the street. I keep finding them all over the place, scattered, lost, with no direction. What happened after you completed this or you went this? Well, this, that, and the third happened. I went that way, and I went this way. And it's a rare few going to come out and do what? Go work a 9-to-5. We're still not killing the beast. The beast's still very much alive. The beast is still very much sapping our life force and our resources for its growth. And it's Jane, that harlot, that monster you read about in Revelation. It's here. It's all over the place. Look at the technical world. Look at it. It's here. So it's like, I for myself, I'm going to continue to acknowledge hard work like yours, and it's amazing. And I'm going to leave that question mark in the air, and I provided information that I don't even know if it's going to get in trouble, be in trouble or not.
No.
All the time on this show. But I don't know what the people listening in are going to do with it. I don't know how it's going to wake up our eyes up with what's happening right now. I'm very afraid. Because if there's people really walking around, taking the youth and getting their minds ready for war, at any given time, you know what that means. At any given time, this whole thing could hit the fan. At any time. So it's like, it's just scary. And I'm angry. And I just pray that God gives me solace and peace. And that, you know, more people come out and, I don't know. I just pray that, like, it just looks like the return of Christ is close. And the way the prophecy talks about it is he returns in the midst of this fight against the Antichrist, because this is the Antichrist. So what we're fighting is the Antichrist. And he's not going to stop. Like, and it's going to take us to begin the fight and Jesus to end it, because only Jesus could kill him and end this system once and for all. Like, and that's the way the Creator writ it. Because of what they did with Jesus' name. Because, and this is why he allowed Jesus to come back to rectify the final affairs. For 2,000 plus years, how much blood has been shed in Jesus' name? How much money and everything else has been laundered in Jesus' name? And everything else they've used with his name. He is going to come back for acquittal. Every church, everyone who used his name will be held under the microscope. What did you do? What would you do in my name? And what for? What was in your heart? What was the intention? One final battle. Like, is only one who's going to be accepted is those who truly stand on the right hand of God with a wholesome heart completely. Not nothing else, not nothing half, because the Antichrist is going to be so influential that the prophet said his influence will be so powerful that even you will believe he is God. He will make wonders happen. A man will die in front of your face, and he will raise him back to life. You will see the sun 1 second, and he will blot the sun out. This is the power that they're doing. They're already doing it with the satellites. They're already doing it. They got weather machines to make clouds. They already got illusion machines to make it look like asteroids is falling. They're doing it already. Everything from cloning to everything is the Antichrist preparing his vessel. And the devil, you think they're showing you cloning and everything by accident? The devil wants a physical body. This is real. He has no physical body. He needs a vessel, and this is what this whole thing is about. He is preparing like a cocoon, preparing his real appearance. And it makes me angry that this being, the audacity that it has to challenge my Creator in the beginning and then to manifest himself in a physical shape to destroy me once and for all, I'm not going out like that. I'm mad. I wish and pray that more of us get aware to who he is in the shadows. There's not even I don't want nothing violence being done. You see how they came out? They took the youth by anger, telling them, now you need to kill officers, because the officers are the pawns, too, to the real power. I don't care about these officers. I don't hate them. They pawns. Every last one of them is a pawn in the bigger scheme of things. Somebody else on the high up is plotting their life. Okay, expend them all. Let them kill each other all over the street, police against blacks and gangs and all that, and we're going to sit here with our money, and when the smoke clears, we're going to build this on top of the ashes. All right, get it done. That's how they're cold they are. That's not a human. I don't know what that is. I don't know what creature is really behind what's really going on. So,
Minister Diaz, you have a big list of listeners. You want to take any questions?
Oh, yes, please. I'm sorry. Yeah, you got to do that sometimes. Your spirit just keeps flying for me. Sorry about that.
Okay, people, we're talking about anger. We're talking about gang violence. We're talking about the manifestation of anger and where it comes from. And you're on with Minister himself, Jaquan Diaz, and Dr. Benjamin Bridges, who have helped you find some peace in their life. I'm going to open up 646-943. Your mic is open.
I have nothing to say right now. I'm just came on, and I'm just listening.
Okay, thank you so much for coming on. Okay, we're going to open up 818-919. Your mic is open.
Hey, praise the Lord. This is Minister Curtis Blow. Old school.
Hey,
hip-hop.
Curtis Blow. How you doing, brother? It's so good to hear your voice all the time. God bless you, people. This is the Curtis Blow. These are the breaks. Let's give him a nice hand for coming on.
I just wanted to say quickly, I am a part of an organization called the United Coalition for Humanity, and we are out there trying to eradicate all of these injustices that are out there, and we need your help, your support. Please join us. It's UCFH.org. That's United Coalition for Humanity, UCFH. Free to join. We have power in numbers, so we need numbers. We need members. All our people of color, please join this organization and join the love and the fight for humanity. Okay? Now, the question I had for the brother was, what do you think about getting at the core of one's anger? And usually, because I took this class in college, you know, a sociology class, family and marriage, and we were talking about violence and just the psychological ramifications that happen when a toddler, a small child, is exposed to violent behavior. They repeat this behavior later on subconsciously without even knowing where they got it from, but they are the same person that they experienced as a toddler. So my question to you is, what do you think about the mental health aspect and going after a psychological mission or to get help to these people who have this anger management?
Right. Well, firstly, myself, the thing that we were doing in the schools, which had, you know, some good results as well, we had a meditation program where we had the youth reprogramming their thinking. So we were telling them to leave all the negativity of the past behind and start to focus on you seeing yourself as a person that can accomplish great and positive things. A lot of people are very angry and upset because they feel very frustrated that they'll never be able to really accomplish anything. They're stuck in the gutter of poverty. They're stuck in just being failures. And because they're in all of that negativity, one of the big things that we're looking at is a situation where, you know, we can free their minds from seeing themselves in that category. All we have to do is try to raise their consciousness to see themselves not as losers, but see themselves as winners. And we had, you know, just for an example of a person that we were dealing with, right, we had one brother who was running for track. He became a track star, right? But the bottom line, when he came to us for our meditation program, you know, he was telling us, like, yeah, I'm on the track team, man. I'm getting ready to quit because, sure, every time I've been running track, he said, the only thing that's been happening, I just keep losing. And I said, really? I said, well, do you feel that, you know, your meditation program can help us, you know, help me out with the track, you know, team? I said, well, brother, this is the thing. What the whole thing is, you know, how do you see yourself? Why do you think that you're a person that keeps losing like this? He said, well, first of all, you know, one of the things I do have to admit, when I get up on the track and I'm on the line with, you know, five or six brothers or seven brothers and we're getting ready to, you know, run, you know, I look across and I look at these guys' thighs and their legs, and I was like, wow, you know, these guys' muscles are 10 times bigger than mine, and 9 out of 10, they're going to beat me. I said, well, if you're going to see yourself as a loser before they even blow the whistle for you to start the race, then guess what? That's what's going to happen, because what you see is what you get. I said, you got to start to see yourself as a winner. So anyway, as time went on, he came into our meditation program. I told him to meditate and to see himself as the first one crossing the finish line. I also gave him a affirmation, actually two affirmations, that I told him to try to say as much as he can throughout the day. And then I also told him that once he starts to really see himself as a winner and no longer keep seeing himself as a loser, because, you know, forget about looking at the other brothers whose, you know, muscles might be bigger than yours or whatever. Don't even worry about that. What you need to do is just know that you are worthy and have the capability of being a winner, and focus on you being a winner. And, you know, after 2 weeks of dealing with the affirmations and the meditation, because I was really hoping that he was going to really be serious about it, because some people you give this information to and they say, I ain't even going to use this stuff. But for those people that do really take it and run with it, and that's what he did. He literally ran with it. And what ended up happening from there, he called me back 2 weeks later. He said, Mr. Bridges, guess what? I said, what? He said, the last three races I was in, I won. I said, really? He said, yeah, man, this is great. You know, so he was really excited about it. He used that information, and it really turned his life around. Not only that, but the other thing that was really great with that was that this was a time period where the Olympics were in Russia. They were in Russia, you know. The thing was that they're going to have an Olympics situation, but, you know, only the first prize winners will be able to go to, you know, the Olympics in Russia where they were going to have it. So they had a race war here, you know, trying to find out who's going to be the first ones to actually, you know, win and be the best ones here. And then that person would end up going into the race in Russia for the Olympics. Anyway, you know, he got into the finals there, and he, you know, even won, you know, quite a few of the other final races, and he ended up being, you know, one of the finalists that were there, and they were having the last race. And if, you know, you came in first place, you would go to the Olympics, but second or third, you know, it was nice that you came in second or third, but the bottom line was you ain't going to the Olympics. Anyway, the bottom line was that he got into the final race there. And he was mentioning to me, he said, Mr. Bridges, you think that I might actually be able to come in first place? I said, just keep your mind focused on the fact that you're a winner, and know for a surety that you have the ability and that you're worthy of it. And look at what happened thus far. You won all these races now. So all I can say to you is that you definitely have the capability of doing it, but you just got to keep your mind up on high so your goals and dreams can start to fly. So just see it from that perspective. And, you know, he just kept going with it, and he went to the finals. And when he went to the finals, unfortunately, he did not come in first. He did not come in second place, but he came in third place. So he came back to me afterwards, and he said, nah, Mr. Bridges, I didn't make it. You know, I said, well, listen, you did make it. You started off as a stone-cold loser in the track races, and you couldn't even win a race because you kept seeing yourself as a loser. Now you came in third place in the nation, and that's not being a loser. That's still being a winner because you went, you know, from being a track star now. So don't look yourself down and out. Look at the fact that you were able to reprogram your mind and start to see yourself as a winner. And that's what ended up helping you to actually transform your situation from being a winner, from being a loser to being a winner, to actually accomplish some great things in what you were trying to do. And I was really proud of him. I was telling him that, you know, that even though you did not come in first or second place, you still came in third, but you were still third in the nation. So to me, that is a great opportunity that you just accomplished, you know. So don't look down on that. You should start to see that as a great opportunity of what you achieved. So these are things that can happen. And the reason why I'm just bringing up that situation with that brother was because that's something that can happen regardless of whether you're running for a track, whether you're trying to start your own business, whether you're trying to get a decent job, whether you're trying to bring your mind out of the gutter of hatred and anger towards yourself or towards your people. Mm. All these things can change, but we have to reprogram their thinking so they can see themselves from another perspective. And once we start to get them to refocus themselves from another perspective on what they can do, they will do it. But we also have to have programs where centers, community centers, and other places where we could actually have the youth to go into these places and start to do the affirmation, start to do the meditation, and start to do the reprogramming of their minds. Offer them those programs, then that's what's going to bring about the positive change for our people and our youth to change.
Amen.
Yes, well, yes. You know, Reverend Curtis Blow Walker, you made a tremendous change in your life as well. First signed rap artist, and now you're a minister serving the community and serving God's people. Talk a little bit about your life and what changes you felt was needed to go forward in a positive spiritual way.
Well, I say it was all God. I've always considered myself to be a Christian, but I was unchurched throughout my life. But then I actually ran into a situation. Well, I got bored. I was just bored with life. You know, I was in my 40s, and I reached the mountaintop. I was sitting back, bored. And so I picked up the Bible and started reading the Bible. And once I did that, I was turned out. I mean, I loved all the stories I was reading in the Old Testament from, Moses and David and Solomon and man, it was incredible. Samson is in the Bible. And I found out I loved all those old movies I used to see with my mom, the Ten Commandments and Ben-Hur and the Robe. And on and on and on, right? So I found out I had an old soul. And so I kept reading the Bible, and I was really infatuated. It became a mission of mine to read the whole Bible. You know, every time I had a free moment, I was in it. So I read all the stories and went to the New Testament and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I was talking about Jesus, but four different twists to the story, and it was incredible, And Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and he was an incredible, incredible writer and preacher and man of God, and I just became infatuated. And so when I got to Revelations, that was it for me. I said, oh, my God, I read that. But that was the most incredible book I ever read in my life. And just the imagery, me being a creative person, I'm thinking movies and soundtracks and whatever. But it was such an incredible book. I mean, I don't want to say I was hell scared, but I said, look, I got to get myself together. Then I went and got saved at church on the way over in L.A. Pastor Jack Hayford, and started doing Bible studies and became a babe in Christ and just loved. And God transformed me.
Yeah, this Amen. Is our brother Jaquan Diaz show. I want to know if you have any questions for you as well. Daquan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I'm multitasking. I didn't hear the last statement.
Yeah, this is the man himself, the original rapper, original sign artist, Curtis Blow. And everybody knows he's out of breaks. But I just want to know if you had any questions for him as well.
Well, for the brother, he did tell me that he was always into the spirit, and I believe our stories are similar, like, because I definitely discovered that I had an old soul, and that in reading the Bible, the stories really captivated me and, like, became visions for me. And I actually, the only contrary is I never acknowledged myself as a Christian or any denomination. And probably the contrary to it all is I definitely sought out to disprove the existence of the first before even believing he was there. So he opened my eyes, like, in a different kind of way. But I want to say that with your opportunities and your journey towards the Creator and your love and everything that he's done for it, what's your feeling on, like, what is he going to ask that? Like, because one thing I learned about the Creator is everything is a two-edged sword. Like, he blesses out of his mercy, and certain people, it's a give or take. Like, the law of equivalent exchange. The more he flooded scripture and knowledge into you and gave you what you did and opportunity, what is the trade-off? What does the Creator want you to do with all that you have gained, and what are you supposed to do on the other end of it? What do you feel like that purpose is that the Creator has for you?
That's a beautiful question. you know, there's more to my story. Just recently, I was the receiver of a heart transplant. So I have a brand new heart, a new outlook on life. I'm a walking, living, breathing testimony of that scripture, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Those in Christ Jesus are a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have passed away, and all things become new. Amen. And so I have a testimony that God is still in the miracle business.
Right.
And so my testimony is I had heart failure in 2017. I went in cardiac arrest. I died for 5 minutes, right? And then they brought me back to life, and my wife, my prayer warrior, she was there praying for me. And so I got through that. Then I went out to China and caught a blood clot in my aorta. And that was very, very dangerous. They wanted to operate over in China. I said, no, I'm going back home. They said, it's 14 hours. You may die. I took the flight. I got to UCLA hospital. They did 2 operations on my aorta. And the doctor said, you know, I don't know how you made it, because we had to freeze your heart for 12 hours, and we didn't know if it was going to start pumping again. But it started right back up. So God was with me that time, and that time before a mitral valve repair operation I did. I also had a spleenectomy, which they took out my spleen, and that was life-threatening right there, too. So all these operations, and then the doctors, you know, my heart was getting weaker and weaker and weaker, and doctors came to me and said, you know, you're going to need a heart transplant because you're not going to be around any longer, about 6 months to a year. You know, my EF rate went down to a 10. Your EF rate is your pumping power of your heart, your ejection fraction. And it's supposed to be 65-70, but mine went all the way down to a 10. And they said, man, you ain't going to be around here too long if you don't get you a new heart. So I got on the list. Praise God. Man, 18 people die a day trying to wait for a heart transplant around the world. And so I was fortunate and blessed by the miracle power of God to get a donor for me and get this heart. And I am an owner of a 34-year-old heart. So here's the long gist of the story is that I established a covenant. I re-established my covenant with God, which is an agreement. I said, God, you know, this is around the fourth operation before the heart transplant. I said, God, you must really want me on this earth for something. It's your will that I'm still here. And so I'm going to make an agreement with you. I tell you, I think you want me here because you want me to spread your gospel, and that's what I do. And I will make a promise. This is what I will do for the rest of my life, is go to the top of the highest mountain and shout out with the loudest voice, God is real, and tell everyone what God did for me. And let you know that God can do it for you too. Amen. Right. God is in the miracle.
Amen. Now, I know God is in the miracle business because he leads me by spirit. And when I heard your words, it's like something was inspiring me to ask you what was the, like, it's amazing how the Creator works and in how he puts people through trials. Like, your love for the gospel and the word kept you alive. Like, it preserved you beyond anything physical. And when he gave you that, it's like, the power of the word is heavy. And the reason why I asked you that is because I was afraid because of what he's pouring in me. And the fact that you came across scripture and you made that sacrifice, it kept you alive because the weight of Amen. That responsibility was a life for a life. It was so heavy. Someone had to die to preserve your life, period. That's like the Creator deals with that on a different scale that my finite mind can't grasp. He left you here, kept you alive, preserved you further with the expense of others' lives to keep you alive, and then you continuing in your mission. This is the answer to a lot that I've been searching for because it's not about what the devil was capable of or the damage he was doing. It's about how much we could take. And God knows that man is strong. He made us with his spirit, that we are dexterous, that we will keep striving, that no matter how much we got lashed and beat down in the ashes, we will still rise and grow out of nothing. And it's like it gave me peace. I came on today. I was angry and afraid of certain things, but the grace and the warmth and the love of the Creator, and no matter what grim times or how dark it looks, he loves those moments. Like the way your life from the kidney transplant to a heart transplant to a blood clot, that looks so grim. Like it don't look like no light could come out of that. And this is what I've been inspired with. And then that's when that burst of light comes before that darkness. And he says, let there be light. And it shines forth. Like every time, the Creator just deals with everything in his time and how he deals with it. And he chooses who he wants to. And only through faith and commitment could we even make it through something like that. So I appreciate the testimony. And I'm definitely very inspired by the fact that you're still breathing. And the fact that you're still breathing is a testament that the Creator is real. And still in that miracle business. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen to that. Yeah. You know, one of the things I just wanted to add on to what my brother was saying, because that was very miraculous what happened to you, that, you know, your heart, you know, was able to be transformed into another heart and was able to save your life. And that was, like you said, miraculous, because that's the miraculous power of God. And I was
right.
in a similar situation like that myself at one time, because, you know, I was just walking my dog in the park in the Bronx, you know, on 233rd in Baychester. And there's a park there. It's about a 5-acre park. They got a little lake there and everything. And it was really nice that summertime. I was walking through the park there, and it was really looked beautiful in the park. And I was like, wow, this is really look nice, you know, because they had flowers up in there. They had all kind of stuff. So it looked really nice, you know. But anyway, as I was going through there, what ended up happening was that I saw, you know, somebody had broken into the projects next door across the street from the park, and they had brought a lot of the mail in there to the park there, right next to where the playground was. And they had took the mail that they thought where they might find check cards and things of that sort, and they ripped all of those out in the open, and they left a big mess on the ground. And then the ones that he didn't rip out, they just left it scattered on the floor as well. So I said, man, let me do something about this, because this doesn't make any sense, you know. These guys are making this into a, you know, a beautiful park into a city dump. I said, so let me clean this up. So the mail that was, you know, the mail that wasn't ripped up, I put under my arm and I was going to put into the mailbox. And the other mail that was all ripped up, I just threw that in the garbage in the park, in the playground part, you know. So anyway, basically what ended up happening, you know, then from there, I said, well, let me just finish walking my dog and then I'll, you know, go to the mailbox and put this mail in. But anyway, while I was walking, there was this Hispanic guy that was coming down the hill running with his dog, you know. So I said, oh, okay. I said, hey, how you doing? He just looked at me. He had a worried face look on his face, and I was like, wow, what's wrong with him, you know. And then he ran off, you know. And I said, okay, you know, no problem there. It doesn't look like he's really worried about something. But then about 3 minutes after that, you know, there was 4 white police officers that came up on me, right? And they said, hey, you know, where were you for the last half an hour? You know, because you better stop right there. I said, what are you talking about? I said, you know, since when is it a crime to walk your dog in the park? What are you talking about? So, I mean, I didn't commit no crime by walking my dog. They said, no, somebody with a dog just robbed a delicatessen around the corner. And guess what? It was probably you. I said, get out of here. I didn't rob no delicatessen. He said, well, where were you for the last half hour? I said, basically, to be honest with you, I was just up on that hill there by the playground, and I was just cleaning up the mess that somebody left by stealing mail out of the projects there, you know, and that's why I got this mail under my arm right now. I said, if you guys want to take this mail, and y'all could put it in the, you know, the mailbox. I said, no, no, you keep that mail, you know. But then they were saying, well, you know, I told them, well, come on, let's go up to the park. You can ask the people up there, was I there for the last half an hour? They said, no, no, that's okay, that's okay. I said, okay, see you guys later. They said, no, no, we just still want to make sure that you didn't do that. I said, well, let's go up there. No, no, we're not going up there. And then what ended up happening from there, one of the police officers said, you know what, Sarge? There's no witnesses around here. You know, we could kill this nigga, and there won't be nobody around to say anything because there's nobody, no witnesses around. So I said, wow, you know, and I said to the Lord, I said, well, Lord, I said, if, you know, these guys are going to try to kill me, I said, the only thing that could save me is, you know, your miraculous mercy and power. So I said, I don't know how we could do this, but I said, I know you have the last word because you're the one that has the last word on whether a person's going to be killed by these knuckleheads or not. So I said, it's up to you. So then the other cop said, you know what, Sarge? I got my ankle gun on. We could say that he shot at us first, and then we had to kill him. So that's one of the reasons why we put so many bullets in him, because we had to, you know, return the fire that he was shooting at us at. And I said, what? You know, and then they all got into a little huddle, and then, you know, the devil was telling me, run for it, you know. And I said, no, I'm not running, because I know all 4 of them ain't going to be bad shooters. I said, I'll probably get about 20 or 30 bullets in my back. So, no, I'm not running. And I just said, Lord, it's up to you. If you want to spare my life and offer me some kind of miracle, I would appreciate it right now. Anyway, they came out of their little huddle, right? And then all 4 of them were pointing their gun at me. And the same guy that said to me, you know, Sarge, you know, we could kill this guy because we ain't got no witnesses around here, so we could take him out, you know. And then he said, once they came out of the huddle and they pointed their guns at me, he said, smart nigger, it's your time to go. And I said, Lord, it's up to you, you know. And then right after I said that, two black police officers came running down the hill. And they said, Sarge, Sarge, is this the guy that robbed the delicatessen? I said, no, I didn't rob it. But guess what? They're getting ready to kill me for no reason, for no reason. He said, Sarge, you getting ready to kill him for no reason? He said, no, no, we were just getting ready to pat him down. And if he didn't have a gun or any drugs on him or any of the stolen money, we were going to let him go. I said, that's not true. You guys were getting ready to kill me. And then he looked at me and he pointed the gun at me. He said, you better shut up. And I said, you know what? I think I better shut up. So I shut up, you know. But then afterwards, after they patted me down to see if I had drugs or the stolen money and all that kind of crazy stuff, which they knew I didn't really have, but they were just trying to, you know, cover themselves, so they knew that they were trying to getting ready to kill me. What ended up happening from there? You know, they said, okay, you know, we're going to let you go now because, you know, you didn't have any drugs, stolen money or anything on you, and we're going to let you go. So then when I was getting ready to leave, I went up to the brother who was one of the, you know, two black police officers, and I said, listen, brother, I know this might be hard for you to believe, but if you didn't come down that hill running down there like you did, I probably would have had about 30 or 40 bullets in me, so they were getting ready to definitely kill me. And he said, no, brother, you know what? I do believe you. I believe that they were getting ready to kill you. I said, definitely were. And then after I said that to him, because that sergeant started looking at me with a frown, I ran up the hill, and I said, adios, amigos. I said, I'm getting out of here, man. And I ran up the hill and just, you know, went up on the street, and then when I hit the mailbox, I just put the mail in the mailbox, and that was it. But the bottom line is this. What that was showing me is that God has the last word on whether they're going to be allowed to kill you or not, you know, because even though they may have the desire to kill you and destroy you as a people or destroy you as an individual, it's not up to them. It's up to whether God will allow that to happen. And that was a beautiful thing. And also the other thing that came out of that was that, you know, a few years later, that's when I was able to get into, you know, doing what I did for the youth, you know, with the gang war. So I knew that He saved my life because I already had a mission that I was supposed to fulfill here on earth, and I was glad to deal with that. But what I'm about to do now is fulfill the other portion of it. But this time, we're not just going to deal with it in New York and just in Baltimore and, you know, Harlem and places like that. We're going to deal with this nationwide because right now there's too many problems that are going on in our community. And we can really turn all of that around, but we have to come together in spiritual unity to really bring about some positive change in our community. And we can do it. The only problem is many of our people don't believe that God has given us the God-given power to be able to do things like that. Because one of the things that God even allowed me to do, you know, through Jesus the Christ, because I've called on him many a time as a spiritual healer, I've been able to give healing back to the blind. I've been able to give healing back to the deaf. There was a brother at one situation and a sister, two sisters at another, where they were on their deathbed, and he allowed me to actually utilize the healing power of Jesus the Christ to actually help them to overcome their, you know, illness and their, you know, cancer and different things that they had. So all I can say is that we have the spiritual power to do these things. And the bottom line is this. Jesus even said in the Bible something that was really powerful, and unfortunately, it's something that's not really being taught in the churches like it should be. But Jesus said, the things I do, you can do, and even more. So what he was saying with that powerful statement was that we are all sons and daughters of God. But the bottom line is, in order for us to use the spiritual power of God, you have to be able to surrender to the directive of God and being willing to serve God and your community and the community of the world. And if you're willing to have an open heart to be able to do these things, then I will give you the ability to activate your God-given power that you already have and start to utilize that power to help the family of humanity and to help yourself and your, you know, your family that, you know, you've been born into, but also help the family of humanity and the people in your community as well. And these are things that we can do. But the bottom line is we have to believe it in order to achieve it.
Amen. 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 Minister Jaquan, there are more callers. If you want to take some more questions, we have Reverend Curtis Walker here as well, a.k.a. Curtis Blow. We have Dr. Benyamin here as well as Minister Jaquan himself. Maybe we can take some more questions from the listeners. Okay, we're going to open up 929-206. 929-206, your mic is open. You got a minute?
Yes, yes, my brothers. I've just been sitting here listening and being blessed. And all power to you, Brother Curtis Blow. I had been following you for a lot of years. And thank God for Jesus Christ in your life and the power of the Most High. This is a great thing. And I'm sure that you're going to get some support, as we all say, each one teach one, each one support one, you know, and we go from there. But God bless you all, and I thank you for this evening. I have been blessed.
Amen, amen. Okay, we're going to open up 302-547. Your mic is open. You got a minute? 302-547, your mic is open. Okay, we're going to open up 914-227. Your mic is open. You got a minute?
Yes.
914-227, your mic is open.
Yes, please. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, you heard.
All right, yeah. I was in and out, on and off on a call, but I heard some interesting stuff, you know, especially dealing with anger. I'm a certified anger coach myself. And one of the things that I learned was that stress and anger goes hand in hand. It's like the more stressed a person is, the more angry they are. So we got to try to eliminate the things that stress us out. People don't realize food, wrong food that we eat can stress us out, cause us to go into a certain mood. You know, lifestyle, things that we do, not confessing our faults, justifying things when it's wrong, you know what I'm saying? All those things contribute to stress, and it makes us more and more angry, you know? So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
That's true, brother. That is true.
I wanted to get some closing thoughts out. If there's anybody else who has a question,
we got another caller, 646-943. 646-943, your mic is open. Your mic is open. Okay.
Let me just
Yes, go right ahead.
Let's close out. Okay, so the sister, when she talked about stress and anger going hand in hand, that was very helpful. And I just want to say to everybody that sometimes the smaller things that we overlook leads to the answer of the bigger things, because between what the sister said and Curtis' story and everything, where my spirit is at right now is a lot more easy, and I'm realizing that that stress factor that I was dealing with and not clearing my mind and clarity, those are all, a wise person told me that it's my choice to suffer. I just don't have no choice in the matter to feel pain. The anxieties and the things that plague our mind and that we hold on to, it makes us not see the minor accomplishments that lead to God's greater ones. Because if it wasn't for the fact that the brother was allegiance with God or had a background of learning about the Creator or a need to learn about the Creator, it probably wouldn't have gave him the strength to make it through all of them health ailments, including the heart transplant that he had to endure. And then afterwards, he preserved his purpose for a larger one onto a larger purpose after that. So it's like we get anxious and impatient in divinity, and God explained himself. A day in the likeness of man is as if 1,000 years before God. So how time moves and how things take place in a sequence with the Creator is an instant. But our anxieties and everything else that we go through. Yeah, I'm closing the show out. All right, so now with that said, I appreciate every insight that was added to the show today, and you gave me solace and a lot more peace in that, you know, in God's divine plan and what he's dealing with. It's not entirely clear, but when it comes into clarity, into fruition, then it's going to be as wholesome as anything the Creator creates. And the fact that, yeah, I know a lot about the devil, his plan and everything, but I know about God too. And as long as I know that God is unbeatable, that in the end his story is going to...
Amen.
Okay, so like we lost him a bit there, a little technical difficulties, but we want everybody to continue to come back. Our radio program tomorrow night, the Black Business Business Network.
Wait.
Okay, go right ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. It's just a lot going on as far as work-wise. I'm trying to multitask between the show and everything. So I'm clocking out of work now and everything. Everything is straight and good. So can you guys give me actually like at least 10 seconds to do that and walk out and give the closing prayer, please, and thank you.
Okay.
And while he's doing that, I just want to run again to thank Dr. Benjamin Bridges and his spiritual insight and blessings, and thanking Reverend Curtis Walker, a.k.a. Curtis Blow, for your insight and spiritual awakening. That's what this is all about right now. People are being awakening to things and conditions and experiences that God has given unto all of us.
And let me say, don't forget my covenant, my agreement with God to spread the gospel and help people is the Humanity Coalition. This is what we do. We are a God-centered organization, and please join us and support us. Everyone, please, we need your help. That's UCFH.org. UCFH.org. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. So we pray and ask the Creator to continue to give us understanding and open the floodgates of knowledge and wisdom for us. We pray that he continues to put a hand over us and bless our lives and to touch every one of us. We pray that he forgives us of our sins and our iniquity. We pray that he shows mercy at us when we perish. We pray for protection of the grave. We pray for protection against the Antichrist. We pray for protection against the calamity of the end, and we pray that he admits us into the paradise of heaven as we was created and brings us back into our wholesome unity of who we are as a human race. And we pray that God makes our endeavors come true and blesses us forevermore. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Beautiful.
Well, everyone has got to get better. Pastor, brother, Hezekiah Walker says, it's got to get better because God is in control. Let's take a listen.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People come. confused. But don't worry.
Don't worry, your song, it will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Cause God,
God is in
control, y'all. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Hey.
Find your praise
within your heart.
Within
Okay, we had some more timing here. Technology as it works. Minister Daquan is still on. Benjamin still on?
Still here, my brother.
Okay, great. Due to the technology or whatever happened, we have more time and we can continue discussion as well.
Oh, okay, great.
Amen to that. Amen to that. It's always good to have more time in anything. It's always great. And, I'm on my way home now. I'm just in good spirits. And I'm doing my best to let what the radio show did for me today show reflection in my household and my life, because I need to really pay attention to where stress originates from, how we stress, how we combat stress. And, my coworker and roommate was actually telling me to meditate more. And I remember that point in time when I was a lot more centered in my meditation and what exactly it did for me. And then at the same token, I heard the brothers talk about putting together meditation groups, and I don't know if everybody on this show knows that I led the group for Lisandro Guzman Feliz, the young man named Junior who was killed in the Bronx with a machete by Trinitarios. And when it comes to that and that movement that I led and the influence I had among the people, those stress counts and it destroyed the household, the family. Like, she didn't have a clear, straight-up state of mind. And, people took advantage of that situation monetarily because of, our stress counts and we were that. But what I was getting to is that my idea for the store that the young man was killed at was to build that. I tried to get the store, raise the money for it, which I did, but the government took it. And I wanted to build a center for kids to come in, a think tank, meditate, and get a lot of their grievances and things that they don't ever get met or answered, because that what was happening with the youth and everything in the neighborhood that led to his death in the first place, a cry out that nobody ever heard. So from that standpoint, and now that I have a clearer view of the process in which the Creator is pushing humanity in, the future looks a lot brighter. And in that sense is that the Creator don't lose. That we lose, we go through what we go through. The Creator didn't take one fall since the beginning of time, and he's never lost one fight. It's just an illusion that the Creator, that the devil is trying to, trick into our minds that the fight is a losing battle. But the way that he came forward with the testimony of life made it clear to me that stress and anger clouds my better judgment, and it clouds your vision, and it needs to be channeled into a different kind of righteous anger, because God has righteous anger, and I believe my anger is righteous too. But to contain it in me and my thought process and everything else that, I guess sparks into my mind and what I go through, it's just not always centered. And being meditative and prayer is what gives you that, that balance. And I just want to say, in everybody's own ways, from Ron Robinson to my other spiritual brother Ron, to the brother Curtis, and everybody else who graced us with this show today, it didn't fall on deaf ears. It's definitely doing something for my life and in my ministry. And I just hope God continues to bless our endeavors and makes the path clear to us.
Great. It's tremendous that you know a person so long, as long as I have known Reverend Curtis Blow Walker, well, a.k.a. Reverend Curtis Walker, a.k.a. Curtis Blow. And, you know, you never know the extensive amount of time or what people are going through after you lose contact with a person. And just a tremendous brother with a tremendous heart. Ever since I remember when he started off in the entertainment industry and the artistry of his rap music, and you know, they still play today. These Are the Breaks. And not knowing all those things that he mentioned today, what he was going through, is just warmed my heart to know that the brother, he been through so much, and he gave his heart unto God, and God has blessed him in so ways. And a lot of times, you know, the Bible says, "Be ye angry, but do not sin." And so a lot of times people feel that anger is of the devil and that anger is not of God. But anger is of the devil when it comes to doing something devilish, doing something evil to somebody, planning to hurt somebody because you're angry, that's sinful. You know, but you can be angry in the context of not getting out of control. These are things that we also have to keep in consideration, that as human beings, we all fall short of the glory of God every day. Situations pop up. You might not even, everybody has that button that you can press. That's that last button that puts them out of control. So, brother Benjamin was saying, you know, by meditation and keeping yourself in context with your spirit, your natural and your spirit, together in meditation, that keeps you context and calm, which is so important, you know, to relieve all these conditions that you go through. So meditation is such a important, viable thing, because meditation gives you time to stop. Prayer gives you time to stop and think and look over the situation that you're going through and give you some context of how to relieve yourself from that thing. And that's why the Bible said put on the full armor of God before you leave the home, and pray for your kids and pray for yourself and pray for your wife and you know, all family members as they leave in the morning, and pray for their traveling ministries as they come back, because, you know, that is so necessary. And I was like, you know, Ben, to sort of explore more about the meditation, the spirituality, how it comes together.
Amen.
Yes. Yes, indeed, brother. So, is it all right to come forth now and speak on that?
Yes, please. Speak on that, meditation and meditation methods of yourself.
Right. Well, one good thing about meditation is that it really helps to calm the mind, and it helps to release a lot of tension, anxiety, and even anger that's there within you. And then you replace that with the spirit of Christ or God within you to feel that cleansing power of God's divine love or Christ's divine love flowing through your mind and heart. And once you replace all that negativity, that's what you replace it with. Because, to be honest with you, the divine love of God and the divine love of Christ is some of the most powerful energy in the universe. And because it is, that's the reason why you could take somebody who has gone around telling people, yeah, I'm going to kill that nigga, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then when they get ready to do it, if you're focusing on the divine love of God and Christ, and you place that into their mind and heart, all of that anger and negativity can be totally erased. So it's not something that they said that they were going to do themselves, but it's the absolute, marvelous, spectacular, supernatural power of God in Christ that can really cleanse and take all that negativity out. So this is one of the, you know, formulas that we need to utilize, you know, as a people, and dealing with our people, and dealing also with the people that want to do us in, you know, as far as, like I mentioned before, the white racist police officers, the Ku Klux Klan, Nazis, and other racist organizations and groups. And the reason why this can be such a powerful game changer is because we already saw the results of it. So once we start to really utilize the power of God's divine love and Christ's divine love as a tool to transform and change our community, it will come about. Because once we start to get into it, we'll be able to uplift and heal our community and the people there within. And all they have to do is start to raise their consciousness from being down in the gutter of anger and self-hatred and the hatred of others and the desire to kill one another. All of that stuff can be cleansed and washed away, you know? And it's not a thing that it might happen or maybe it can. No, no, no. It definitely can. Because like I said, when you look at the power of God's divine love and the power of Christ's divine love, it's the most powerful force in the universe. And being that it has that power, it can definitely grasp the devil's feelings and thoughts that is placed within the minds of people and cleanse all of that away. Because the devil has no power over God. God has the last word. So if we start to see that God has the power and God can, you know, transform different situations that we see ourselves in today, then that's what's going to happen. And the thing about it is, again, that God-given power is within us. But we cannot use that power. We're going to use it in a negative way. It has to be used in a way in which we're going to serve God and serve the family of humanity, serve the family of our community. And if we're going to do it in that manner, we're going to see awesome and powerful change in our community. And once we start to raise our consciousness, see, because the thing about it is over 400 years of being under slavery, oppression, and being told that we're worthless pieces of people that can only achieve but so little, we have to reprogram the thinking of our people to say the truth of the matter is all of that is a lie. Do not believe the lies of Satan, but believe in the power of God and Jesus. Because when Jesus is telling you that we are all sons and daughters of God that have the power to make some awesome and spectacular change in our lives and in the lives of others, that's when we're going to be able to really make some things come about. And in the beginning, I know because Satan has really grasped the minds of a lot of our folks, but there are people that have open hearts and open minds and want to bring about some positive change. And those that do, those are the ones that we'll work with in the beginning. And after a while, in projecting that positivity of God's divine love and Christ's divine love, that's when we're going to start to see that change come about. And this is going to be awesome and amazing because I know this is going to be able to happen. I don't think it might happen or maybe, or, you know, maybe we'll get, you know, two or three people to change. No, we're talking about changing, uplifting, and healing our community. And it's going to come about. And that's without a doubt. And if we can see this without a doubt, definitely the goals and dreams of our people are going to start to come about. No question about it. It can definitely happen. And one of the affirmations that we used that had a huge impact on our people was see it, done, feel it, done, and know it has already been done, and our victory has been won. See it done, feel it done, and know it has already been done, and our victory has been won. And if we can see things from that perspective, from a positive mindset, instead of Satan's negative mindset that wants you to keep seeing things from a down and out perspective, forget about going down there. That's what he wants us to stay, down and out. But once we start raising our mind up on high into a state of higher consciousness in God and Christ, that's when we're going to see a lot of positive things come about, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. So all I can say, okay, my brothers, is that our time has come to bring about a new reality that can be won.
Great, great. And I want to remind everybody as well that you have a new show coming on the 12th, Thursday at 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. and it's called Exploring Spirituality with Dr. Benjamin Bridges, and that would be starting Thursday, the 12th, August 12th, from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., and then you're coming back on Saturday, August 14th, at 9 p.m. to 11 p.m., and so we will have the show Exploring Spirituality with Dr. Benjamin Bridges. He's going to talk more about, you know, meditation, spirituality, and his connection and connection with God and the peace that we can have in our life. So we're looking forward to his program next Thursday, the 12th, at, like I said, at 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And the same telephone number, 347-857-1311. 347-857-1311. So his show will be Exploring Spirituality with Dr. Benjamin Bridges. And then also you're going to have another show Saturday night at 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Give us a little breakdown what you expect to happen during the show.
Well, basically, we're going to be talking about, you know, our true identity, not as limited people, but as sons and daughters of God. And being that we are sons and daughters of God, that we do have the innate ability to do awesome and amazing things. And we just need to leave the lies that we've been brainwashed into believing since childhood into adulthood, telling us that, you know, we can't accomplish with so little. And those are all lies. The bottom line is we can accomplish great, awesome, and amazing things. So that's one part of it. The other part of it is that we're going to be focused on not only the fact that we are God beings that have the ability to do awesome and amazing things, as Christ was telling us, the things I can do, you can do even more. Even more? Are you serious? Yes, he is serious, and it can definitely happen. But the bottom line is, being that we have that ability to focus on seeing the healing of our community come about, to stop violence again, whether it's coming from our people or whether it's even coming from other people outside of our community. Like I said earlier, the racist white police officers or with the NAACP is going to be on our side, hopefully doing the prayers and the meditation with us. But the bottom line is, with the Ku Klux Klan and all of them, we can stop their murdering of our people. And the thing about it is, really? We can stop white? When those four white police officers had their guns aimed at me, and that one of the police officers said when they came out of their huddle, "Mark, nigga, it's your time to go." And I said, "Lord, it's up to you. If you want me to go at this time, I'll go. But if you can stay a minute." And right after I said that, two black police officers came running down the hill. God has the last word. And even though we may place white people mentally over us, bottom line is God is over them. Don't even believe that we don't have the ability to free ourselves from poverty, from oppression, from being down and out for so many different reasons. And the only good thing about this in regards to white folks is that not all of them are haters and are stone-cold racists that want to destroy us. There is a good portion of them that do want to help us out. But the bottom line is that those racists and murderers that do want to do us in, we do need to stop them from trying to kill us, stop them from trying to do us in and keep us down and out. And we do have the power to do it. And that's the thing that's very important. We have to start using so that we can achieve it. But if you want to see yourself from another perspective, then that's a whole other thing. But do not believe in the lies of Satan, but believe in the God's honest truth of Christ Jesus. The things I do, you can do more. And that is very powerful statement.
Amen. Okay, we had a minute left, and I see that we have a very special guest on as well, Enigma, Mrs. Cal.
Oh, Ron. I'm I'm listening to us keeping the faith and keeping strength, and you know, it the fight that never ends does take a toll on you, especially being a woman and being in this fight for all your life. It never ends. It's an ongoing thing, and you're right. It's a mindset. You can never, never, never give anybody the opportunity to let you feel less than when you made in such perfection. So I agree with the young man, you know, and I wish him the best of everything on his next show and every other young man that's out there. Have your own. Be independent. Don't just think on the fast lane. There's so many opportunities out there. If I had a little more time, I'd do 50 more things. There's not enough of me to go around and do and finish. And you can use the gang thing is just something that the system helped build up. You know, this is about the government falling. And they use, as everything else, they use our poor and our weak to play against each other, and all of a sudden you're gang-bounded, and, you know, it's all a black thing, and it's all a Spanish thing. No, there's some Albanians and Arabs and a whole bunch of other people you don't know nothing about that's going through some shit, and got to straighten it out, and then they doing it here in America. Everybody's bringing
right.
their war here, so
right.
it's
there you go.
That we're going to help. We're going to help again, as always,
right.
and it takes faith and takes
right.
strength, you know, that
right.
kind of strength. Like, Ron, when your mama said, don't do it, and she didn't even need a man in her life to check y'all,
right.
y'all know not to do it. So
Amen.
It was just that simple. Knocking you out was not a problem. So we
there
need that kind of strength again. We need to know that
Amen.
We are kings and queens, our own, and not make excuses for them. The only way
okay,
for them to be strong is to be strong.
Okay. So, Brother Minister Jaquan, you want to say something real quick? You got a second?
Yeah, I'll close out. Sister, that powerful standpoint is exactly what we do need for our lives, because before it took a village to raise the children, and that disunity is just taking a toll on us. And we pray that us and the next generations to come, they can have a more vigilance. But a lot of it had to do with our discipline and, you know, our hard work for, you know, for earning anything, and it's lost. So we just pray that the Creator puts that kind of spirit into people's hearts and minds to make us strong once again. And
Amen.
We pray everybody's in safety upon hearing this. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen to that, brother. Mm-hmm.
Love and a sound mind. Come on.
Famine and disease.
renews us. I believe if he parted seas, this disease gotta bow to the ruler.
So many young cops that are dying from the hand of disease.
Sisters in New York City, God is still in the healing business. Let's come together.